Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 158, the leaf motif episode. Oh, we are getting close on the mosaic quilt. We are getting some quilting done. No deadline, no estimated time of arrival, because we know, in my case, if I say I'll be done on so and so date, it will not happen. So we're leaving it open, free, and easy. All right, first thing I want to say, because if I don't say it now, I'll forget it. There's a movie I want to recommend to you here, February 5th, in the winter of 2015. If you haven't seen it or have not watched it in a while, it's on Netflix, it's streaming. It's called The Station Agent. It's really wonderful. I watched it a while back. It came out in 2003. So it's probably been 10 years since I've watched it. And I'm watching it now, and it's a movie about friendship. It's a very quiet movie. And here's the great thing. It takes place during summer, okay, in this sort of rural New Jersey town. And yes, I think to everyone, the first time you ever realize there is a rural, it's hard for me to say rural part of New Jersey, but there is. New Jersey's actually a really beautiful state. But if you only ever go up, what do you go up, 95? Does that go through Jersey? I don't know, but whatever. The turnpike, you're not going to see it, but you get off the turnpike. But anyway, it's green. It's green, and I thought that's what I'm going to do for the rest of the winter is watch greeny, summery movies. That's what I'm going to do. So if you know a good movie that takes place in summer, that they show lots of green trees, let me know. But for now, I will recommend to you The Station Agent. You can thank me later. Check, check, check. Off-kilter quilt introduction, take two. Hi, it's Monday. For some reason, I was never able to finish that introduction that I started last Thursday. But I wanted so badly to tell you to watch The Station Agent. It's such a wonderful movie. And I needed to get that out. And then I thought I would have time a little later to finish the introduction section. And I was very wrong. Just stuff came up. And then Saturday, I went to Charlotte to see a friend. And Sunday I came home and I came home Saturday night. But Sunday, of course, I was exhausted because I'm old now and I'm such an introvert that, yes, driving down to Charlotte with another friend. So my friend Amy and I went to see our friend Danielle, who moved from Durham in August 2013. And this is the first time we've gotten down 2 hours away to see her house. But all three of us are very serious introverts, so someone was always backing out, or Danielle wasn't happy with how her house was looking, or they really had to do a lot of work on their yard, apparently, and that means a lot to her and her husband. They're very house-proud, yard-proud people, and they do a lot of work on those things. And so anyway, so we finally got down this weekend, and the great thing is that Amy and I got to spend time together in the car talking and catching up, and we usually have coffee probably every 6 weeks or so, but we hadn't seen each other in a little while, and so we did that. We got caught up and had a good talk there and back, although by the time we were on our way back, there were a lot of long pauses in our conversation. Here's a very cool thing. Amy's mom lives in Asheville, and the Downton Abbey Costume Collection exhibit is going to be at the Biltmore House in Asheville, and Amy's mom got tickets for Amy herself and Amy's sisters. So I think Amy is going up Thursday or Friday to see that. And I would love to see it, but it's a limited, very limited engagement. And I just don't see myself making it up to Asheville. But, won't that be glorious? Anyway, we had a nice day and the weather was good. And but it was a lot of talk, a lot of socializing for moi. So Sunday, I was just like, Sunday was yesterday and it was a beautiful day. Being alive yesterday here in Durham, North Carolina, it was like drinking champagne all day, but never getting past that bubbly, fizzy, happy feeling, right? Never getting nappy or drunk or tired, just not done anything about that stuff. But just being light and buzzy all day, it was so beautiful. It was like 68 and sunny, and Travis and I took two walks. And it was just really, really lovely. So anyway, but here's Monday and it's a little cooler and it's overcast. And I just remembered I have to go. Check, check, test, check. Okay, it's me again. I was talking happily away. Well, now it's been a couple hours. Talking happily away, getting the introduction done, moving on with my life, when I realized I had to go pick up a cooler. Today was hot lunch day for Jack's advisory. I made the hot lunch. I made the same hot lunch I've made every year since Jack was in fifth grade when he started having advisories at Durham Academy. They do not have cafeterias. The children bring their lunches every day unless they're special hot lunches brought in by the parents, which are, of course, scheduled. And yes, since whenever fifth grade was, he's in 10th grade now. So let's say that's 5 years, give or take. Yeah, that's what I bring in. I bring in lasagna, garlic bread, and brownies. The kids love them. It's very easy to do. Lasagna is one of those dishes. I do like the side of the box recipe off the Mueller's box. So it's really, I think that's what I do. Whatever I do, it doesn't involve anything but ground beef and ragu and a lot of cheese and noodles. And it tastes good. I doctor up the ragu, put a little red wine in it, put a little basil in it, do what you do to ragu, and it's just good. Now, when I want to do a nice, fancy, really good lasagna, I do the Moosewood, which I love, the old from the original Moosewood cookbook. But when I'm cooking for 10th graders, ragu, baby. Anyway, so I had taken all that over in a cooler this at lunchtime, and just left it there, and forgot that I needed to go pick up the cooler with any leftovers in it. And you know what? I always make two lasagnas. There are 12 kids in this advisory, maybe not even that many, and then the teacher. And this time they just ate one of the lasagnas. So there may be some kids in there who don't eat it. I don't think there are any vegetarians. Anywho, that's what I remembered as I was chatting away to you. This time I am finishing this dang introduction. Have we mentioned it's Off Kilter Quilt? That's what you're listening to. It's episode 158. Today's date is February 9th. It's Monday. The rain has begun. It's very strange looking out the window to realize that yesterday it was perfect and today it's February. But we don't complain about the weather. Any event, I also just got some mail, including some books from Allison Rosen. The fabulous Allison sent me some quilting history books because she is fabulous. Thank you, Allison. How nice. People are so nice. Okay, let's look at comments. Let's get this done. I got some good emails this week too. I heard from Chris Kaufman, and Chris, I'm emailing you back. I know I'm so behind on emailing you, and I just have to. And you're one of my favorite people, and we know each other. We've met. You've met my mom. You're like family, which means I probably won't write you because I still haven't even written my thank you notes. They're sitting here next to me addressed. It's sad. Anyway, on to the comments. Hello, Laura. Laura likes that a lot of people are commenting now. And she likes hearing me talk about the comments. It makes her feel connected to a lot of other quilters, even though I don't know them in person. I know, isn't that neat? I feel like we just have this community, and then listening to the other podcasters, and they talk about who they got comments from, and there's overlap, and it's neat. It's very cool. And Laura, I always like hearing from you. Laura, like a lot of other people, were very enthusiastic and encouraging about my quilting series idea. I am done writing the synopsis for the series, just for the first three books, and now I have to write what they want as a series outline, which is slightly different, and then I have to write my cover letter. And we'll see. I'll be interested to see if they're interested, if AQS is interested, and if so, what their terms are. And if I don't know, I'll let you know what happens one step at a time. Laura wanted to know if I was thinking about including a Depression era pattern in the back of the book, like Marie Bostwick does. I had not thought about that, and there, one of the characters in the series is going to be writing a quilting column, a la Nancy Page from the 30s, and so and that column includes patterns. So it'd be interesting to think about whether or not I would do patterns for the book or get someone, as you say, an inspiring designer who would design some patterns for me. Although I do have EQ7 now, so maybe I could do it, although I have not been doing my EQ7 homework.
I need to get to that place. I've got a lot on my plate right now, but I really want to get to that place. I was having fun playing with EQ7 during the holidays. Laura submitted a depression era memory. Since I'm writing about depression era quilting, she said, kids collecting coal off the train tracks from the coal cars running through the city. They would trade the coal with Laura's grandma for eggs. She lived in a small town in northern New York where backyard chickens were allowed. So go figure. I think people should do more trading, not necessarily for coal, although for eggs, that would be good. Or, you know, what would be interesting to make quilts. We don't make quilts to sell, most of us, but what would you trade a quilt for? You made a quilt. What would you want in exchange for a quilt? It's an interesting question. Maybe some eggs. I don't know. Before I forget, when I was in Charlotte or south of Charlotte, I believe I was telling you about that. I don't know where I got. Went to Charlotte to see my friend Daniil, who lives very close to a very small town called Waxhaw. It looks like Waxhaw, but it's Waxhaw, with the very cute downtown. And we looked at antique stores, and there were some very nice quilts, and they were not particularly expensive. I saw three or four quilts, and they were priced $125, $150. I was not in the market to buy these quilts, and it's one of those things where I just don't know enough about quilts. I mean, there was one that seemed to me was probably made in the 70s. It was actually a double wedding ring, and I could certainly tell that it was hand quilted. I don't know if it was hand pieced, but you know, just had some funky polyester stuff thrown in there. Although there is an article in the new AQS magazine about 1970s quilts, by the by. If you don't get that, it's an interesting article. It's a good issue, so get it the next time you're at the bookstore or the grocery store if they carry it. In any event, I saw a yo-yo quilt, and it was neat. And those fabrics looked very 1930s to me, but I just didn't know. I really, you know, it could be that someday I'll go out with a couple $100 in my pocket, because, you know, I just have a couple $100 lying around to spend on whatever I want. But, you know, buy some antique quilts and actually try to do a study. But I don't know enough to know even if I'm buying a real antique quilt. I mean, these quilts, there was a Dresden plate that was not very good. And it was a couple of the quilts we saw, the yo-yo quilt was in great condition. And there was a wonderful quilt that had alternate embroidered blocks. And it was also in really good condition. So, I mean, if I were a quilt collector, I probably would have thought about buying those quilts. But I am not. I'm just a poor, poor girl. I'm just a poor girl, do, 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 do. Yeah, I'm thinking of that Queen song. Anyway, Travis is with me, and he's looking at me very strangely, like, why are you singing? Heard from Kelly, who said I can email her anytime if I have a question about EQ7. Thank you, thank you. Heard from Jenny in Oz. Can we assume that's Australia? Who is wishing me all the best for a book proposal. Thank you. I did. You know, I think there are a lot of quilters who read. And I was looking at some quilty books at Amazon. There's a series of quilting books that I'm fairly sure, and I don't have it in front of me, and I don't have Amazon up on it, but I'm fairly sure are self-published. It's like the publisher's like Butterbridge Publishing. And when you go to the website, it looks, you know, it's all the same author. She's selling a lot of autographed copies. And so I think she's just, you know, and you can self-publish and then sell via Amazon. And these books get a lot of reviews for self-published books. And you kind of think there's probably not a ton of marketing. So interesting, an interesting world, the quilting novel that I'm about to enter. Let's see, heard from Tammy Knox. Tammy, how are you? She could not find, yes. Last week she was claiming she had left a comment on Podbean, and now she admits she can't find it either. Wonder where it went, Tammy. I've heard from people whose kids are teenagers, and yes, things do, they do get better. Yes, and I know that's like a slogan for not for just regular, I think if you're gay, if you're a gay teen, that's the slogan that's coming at you. But also if you're a heterosexual or gay mom, things do get better. Yes. And Tammy is sending out positive vibes for the book proposal. Yes, in fact, she's saying when it happens, she will be buying copies for all her quilting peeps. I like that positive attitude, Tammy. Thank you very much. Heard from Emily. I haven't heard from Emily. Well, no, I'm not guilt tripping you, Emily. Emily, haven't heard from you in a while. That's okay. I haven't been feeling that great in you. No, it's always good to hear from Emily, and who has read some of my already published books. Thank you very much. She loved Broadchurch, which I was mentioning, and says, I have heard rumors that there might be a season two. I don't know quite how they'll do that, but if anyone hears about a season two of Broadchurch, please let me know. And Emily is watching Grandchester. I have watched the first episode of that. Somehow we didn't get around, I think the second episode, it was, there's too much being recorded, and so we didn't get that. I need to go check on PBS, because I really enjoyed the first episode of Grandchester. The actor who plays the priest, it's an Episcopal priest, but he is in a ton of stuff. I was just watching Death Comes to Pemberley, which is on Netflix now, and I'd actually watched the first episode and some of the second episode, so I was just starting over, and he's in that, and he's in that very good, although somewhat disturbing series called Happy Valley, which is also streaming on Netflix. I don't know his name, so if you don't tell me his name, how do I know who you're talking about? He's really cute. He plays the priest in Grandchester. Go on to PBS Online. Do my homework for me. Thank you. At the end, Emily says, thank you for your podcast, even if I don't always comment. Emily, I hear you commenting in your head. I really do. I feel it. I sense it. All right. I heard from Heather, who is all caught up on the podcast. She wasn't even going to comment until I mentioned my book proposal. So she's going to buy all of them. Thank you. Good. And has her fingers crossed. Thank you very much. She's another mother of a teen who is coming through the surly years. Who's got almost, he's 16. So Jack will be 16 at the end of August. And you know, what's funny is last week, there was a day last week where, you know, I think it was Wednesday, and he had debate after school, and he came home at 5, and he, you know, he games a little bit. That's how he doesn't game a little bit. He games a ton, but he's very good about doing his homework and getting his work done. But, you know, he always, when he gets home, he gets on the computer and he does a little gaming, chills out. But usually if he's got homework, he's up at his room in a reasonable hour. And he was not up there until 9. And I woke up like at 1:30. He was still up. And I, you know, knocked on his door and he's like, yeah, you know, and just kind of, and said, you know, you really need to get to bed. And the next day, he was surly again, and it was weird. I'm like, oh, I'd gotten so used to nice Jack, and now mean Jack is back. But he got some sleep, and he was nice again. Heard from Noni, and she, so this is interesting. Cindy Needham, who must be a free motion quilter, or a machine quilting teacher, expert, someone who can recommend things, recommends stitching in every ditch to stabilize the blocks prior to free motion quilting. This helps you avoid puffiness. And I had just read something else, I think in a machine quilting magazine. What do you call that? An issue, I guess, a machine quilting magazine that I was just looking at the bookstore. And there's an article about stitching in the ditch. And yes, I wish I had done that. I am, by the way, as I am getting to really good places with the mosaic quilt, although the last couple days I have been unquilting, and don't fuss at me, because I just pleated. I got some really bad pleats. There are, and this is in the border work, not in the blocks. Some of the negative blocks have some pleating. There's only one block I've seen so far that I don't even think I'll unquilt the whole block, but needs, I think, could use some work. But but the border, on the borders, I managed to work in a couple of very serious pleats. And you know, when you're unquilting because of pleats, sometimes you have to go way beyond the pleats to make it all work again. So that's kind of a pain. So but you know, I wish I had thought about stitching in the ditch around the inner border, the 1-inch border, and I didn't. And now I really wish I had, because I think that would have helped a lot with that pleating. And Noni has sent me some files for EQ7 that I need to upload and see if I can make work. We're trying to see if we can do some file sharing, and I'm just not there yet. But Noni, as soon as I do, I promise I will tell you. And Noni represents Noni represents all things that are good in America. No, recommends a group on Facebook called Free Motion Quilting on Domestic Machine. Good for advice and pictures of free motion quilting. A great group, and I will join up with them. I continue to enjoy Quilting Bee. Just some really, really nice pictures of quilts. That's fun. Ah, now here's a comment from Colleen, and she is commenting on Noni's comment, which is, so Cindy Needham, there's a Craftsy class. And Colleen took that too. And she said, yes, she took that class where Cindy Needham said to quilt in, quote unquote, every stinking seam. Colleen says that's way too much quilting for her. By the time she's at the quilting stage, she just wants to get that quilt done. I know, and I am so much like that. Now, with these pleats, they had to be unpleated. That work had to be done. But I also am kind of thinking, yeah, I didn't stitch in the ditch on the inner borders, and maybe I'm regretting that now. One thing I might try, Colleen tells me, and it's probably too late now, and sadly it is to steam the blocks with my iron. That might unpuff them a bit. Well, yeah, I mean, so you mean steam them before I quilt them? Food for thought. Let me know if that's what you mean. Heard from Quilting Jenny. And again, everyone's saying very nice things about my quilting series. Yay. She says, I have liked several, but they always seem a little hokey to me. She knows that I will do the characters justice. Yeah, that's, I know. I feel that way too. And I think the trick, because you want to make, I think what a lot of people want are cozy novels. And I do too. And what I'm trying to do is write, and I've only written a little bit of the first novel, but I'm trying to make it a book that I would want to read. So there is a cozy factor, but there's also the characters are real. And there are a couple characters that are funny, you know, are funnier and more for comic relief. And there are a couple who are more serious and have more serious, not very serious issues, but just more serious stuff going on. But yeah, the trick is how do you keep it? You know, you just don't want existential angst in your cozy book. And at the same time, I don't like when things are really sentimental, and I like characters to be real. So I'm going to do my best, Quilting Jenny. She's another one, by the way, who cannot do math herself, but who has children who can do math. I don't understand it. It's recessive genes. What can you say? Heard from Terry. Yay. She wonders, because I talked about how we are slacker family here in Durham. We are the slacker family. Oh my goodness. I was so proud of myself. This is going to go on forever, but I'm getting down to the last few comments, I think. So I have my lovely young friend, Sarah, who really, they have a very active family. And you know, one of the reasons they're more active is they're 15 years younger, the parents are, and their youngest child is in kindergarten, right? So they're just, you're going to be more active because, good Lord, you got to do something, right? Because otherwise you're playing blocks with the kindergartner, and he's a really great kindergartner. Big fan of this kid. They're a very nice family, but yeah. So we've gotten to a place where we don't have to do anything with our children, so we don't. Anyway. But she's always trying to get me to do something. And there was last Wednesday, there was a church supper. And it's a big church. It's a nice church. We like this church. We've enjoyed it. And they do a lot of community building things, which I think is awfully nice for people who would not rather stay home with a quilt over their head and read with a flashlight under the blanket kind of thing. And it's really, you know, and no, it's just no. Will doesn't eat. Jack's got debate or swim every night. The man's working till 7 or 8. No, but anyway, but so she texted me and said, are you going to the dinner tonight? And I said, no, are you? Yes, over 100 people have reserved spots. And I said, that's great. Have a great time. And I was just being very, because my whole thing now, I'm not making excuses. I'm not explaining myself. I'm just like, I'm just trying to do the man. I'm trying to like channel the man who is Southern and has lovely manners. You cannot make him do anything he does not want to do, but he will make you think he is just the nicest, sweetest person in the world, which he is. It's not a ruse, but he just smiles and says funny things, and all the while, and everything he's saying is no, no, hell no, no way, hell's to the no, no. But you don't really understand that because he's just being nice and funny and pleasant. So anyway, I was very proud of myself. No explanation, no reason why, no, just no, not going, have a great time, sounds good, enjoy yourself. And I just thought, I finally figured it out. I finally, yes. And then she texted me back and said, you know, there's still space. You could still come. And I thought, how long does this go on? How long does this little back and forth go on until I'm not my lovely Zen self? But I was very good. I just took a deep breath. And I texted back, good to know. Have a great time. And that was it. I was just like, oh, I finally did it. I finally made her stop texting me to try to go out of my house. She's really a great person, and I love her. And of course, she doesn't listen to this podcast, or I would not be telling you this story. Anyway. Yes. Terry, anyway, was saying about stay-at-home families who do not schedule every moment around sports and extracurricular activities. Terry thinks that families who enjoy being home together might be closer. And what do I think about that? My children are not particularly close. There's a big difference in age and temperament, but I think, and I don't know, it's hard to compare and contrast those things. It was like Friday night, we were all just in the man's study. The man and I were on the couch. Will was watching basketball and simultaneously playing some game, and Jack was gaming. It was kind of nice. I don't know. Is that closeness? I mean, it's something. It's togetherness. Whether or not we're closer than the family that goes out to the church dinner, I can't tell you, but we are quite comfortable together, and I like that. So, as for forensics or speech and debate, that's coming. That season is coming to a close. Swim season is coming to a close. I have done my last volunteering for that. I think Terry has done a lot of speech and debate stuff with her kids, and she's much more enthusiastic than I am about it. Heard from Debbie. Thank goodness. That's why this podcast episode is actually being posted now, because I heard from Debbie. And she said Weeks Ringel is coming to her guild to do a lecture and two workshops in April. So jealous. It's like, I feel like, I think Jay commented too and said something about she's doing a class with Joe Cunningham. I'm like, so I'm just mentioning these quilters and everyone's like, oh yeah, my best friend. Well, that's Annie Smith and me. But you know, it's like, that's so cool. Debbie, have fun, and have fun at QuiltCon. That's coming up. Heard from Sue in upstate New York, who loves to comment without listening, and I encourage that. And here's a funny thing. She said, I just had to comment when I saw Travis because I always envisioned him as a big dog, like an Irish setter. And then Jay later said, yeah, I always thought Travis was big too. He's a little thing. He's 20 pounds. He's like a little piglet. He's very fun. But that's funny. Yes, how, the way we imagine each other's dogs. And Sue gives a Sue in upstate New York another thumbs up for the book series. Thank you. Heard from Sherry D, who does not have to hide fabric purchases from her husband. He is worse than she is, buys her gift certificates to quilt shops, and forces her to buy more fabric. All right. If y'all live in Utah, we'll come out. We'll be sister wives. That's amazing. That is really, really nice. Got some, multiple great comments from Jay, who's getting caught up on all the podcast, and she is jealous about Debbie taking the class with Weeks Ringel, as are we all. And Jay thinks that Weeks and her husband, whose name is eluding me, but we all know who that is. Is it Bob? Bill? Bill? Maybe Bill. Weeks and Bill. Anyway, Jay thinks that they are some of the smartest people in quilt making. I like what Jay said about quilt history. I'm going to just quote her. You said, paraphrasing, that people aren't required to be interested in quilt history, and I agree. I do think that all quilt makers need to respect quilt history and accept that there is quilt history. One thing that really bugs me is the quilt makers, quote unquote, make up blocks and don't do any research into whether or not that is a historic block. Something like checking to see if a block has been done should be considered good practice. They can certainly rename it, but they should say something like, quote, this is a block that came to me, and after doing a bit of research, I found that mine is a slight variation from XYZ quilt pattern from so-and-so published in 1930X. The historian in me cringes when I see poor practices like the above, like the making up a quilt block and just assuming no one ever thought of that before. Nothing new under the sun. Let's see more from Jay. She's taking a class with Joe Cunningham. Someone else just told me they had taken a class. Maybe it was a new comment that came in and said that, it was Cottie, and said she's not a huge fan of his quilts, but said he was really fun and sang some of his songs and was a really good presenter. Heard from Brenda F., who says, good enough kids is truly how I try to roll. Me too. And, you know, good enough, it's funny. It's like, Jack's a good enough kid, and who gets great grades. But you know, just does a couple things, and Will gets good grades. He gets good enough grades, and he's very well-rounded kid. They're just good enough, and I think we good enough parents should just stick together on that. The problem is there are other parents who are very Type A, stressed out parents, and then they start making you feel anxious and stressed. But we will refuse to feel anxious and stressed about our children. As long as we can. Okay, Brenda asked a question, and it's a question I will pose to you as well. What do people do with their old quilts? With 20 years of quilting, she started young. She started when she was 3. I am on my 3rd bed quilt for my bed, and the kids are each on their 2nd. I have the old quilts in a closet or on a quilt rack, and they will probably stay there till I'm gone. Do others donate those quilts, love them, then pass them on? Is this how the quilts used for rags happen? That's a really good question. You know, one of the things, I don't know, because at this point, I don't have enough quilts of my own to worry about that too much. I don't know, what do y'all think? I mean, I'm sure some get passed down and get taken by children to new homes. And I'm sure a bunch get donated. I also, you know, one of the things, if I have any, you know, my only stated goal for this year is to finish the yo-yo quilt. My hope, I really would love to make a Dresden quilt and a double wedding ring. I also, there's some gift quilts I want to do. I want to make a quilt for my friend Cheryl and some other friends. I kind of have a list of friends I would like to make quilts for. But one thing I wanted to do, and one day we'll do, is just make a really nice quilt and give it to a homeless guy. There's a place where I know, I mean, I wouldn't go into the camp, but there is a camp in the woods near a shopping center. And I've thought about just taking a quilt and hanging it kind of at the where the entrance, where the pathway is into those woods. I also know some people, you know, doing mission work with these people, so I could always just hand somebody a quilt and say, could you give it to one of the people living in the woods back there? I've always wanted to do that and make it a really beautiful quilt. So I say, if we have quilts that we don't know what to do with or inherit a lot of quilts, the homeless people of Durham, North Carolina, I think would appreciate them. So that's my thought. What do you think? What's going to happen to your quilts when you're gone? Not that we won't live forever, because we will. Okay. Heard from Cottie, who said, funny to see Travis, as he just scared me today as I was trying to move the giant painting that blocks the basement staircase, and his bark came from behind me as I was wearing earbuds. I'm so sorry. That was, you know, not a planned bark, not a trick bark. Just a Travis bark. But that's so funny. Travis is causing a lot of problems on this podcast. And he's just sitting right next to me. He's so sweet. You would love him so much. And Cottie wanted to know, I got several, yes, three Cottie comments. Wanted to know why we're renovating our kitchen now when we know we'll do it 5 years from now. We're not doing a full renovation, but what happened is when we had to get the new oven at Christmas time, it required new carpentry work. So we started with that, and that was going to require, we actually were getting a new counter space out of that, and we decided to go ahead because our old countertop is in really bad shape. And so we would go ahead and put in a new countertop and a new backsplash just because, well, we are living our lives now, and we would like that to be a nicer space, but we're not really ready to do a new floor, and I would actually like to do new cabinets in a while. And, you know, it may not really be 5 years. It could be 10 years. So it seems worth it. And I have a friend who changes, you know, she does the cheaper countertop. She does the laminate. And she says she changes it every 4 or 5 years because it's fairly inexpensive. So we just wanted to make some changes right now that we can afford and enjoy them and enjoy that space now instead of waiting forever. I mean, we might have waited forever if the oven hadn't gone, quite frankly, because we're that way. But since we kind of had a door open, an opportunity to make some changes, that's why we're doing it. Okay, and Kati has another recommendation for solids. Solids by Riley Blake. And that was a recommendation from Rhonda at Quilter in the Gap. So another list. I should make a list of all the solids that have been recommended. I don't know if I'll do it today. I'll do it someday. I will. Kati says that the solids by Riley Blake, very nice feel to the touch. So we'll try that out. Okay, I think that is all the comments. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented, and thank you to everyone who commented in your head. Always remember, don't have to listen to the podcast to comment, because I love comments so much. I'll take whatever I can get. Sue from upstate New York will tell you that is true. Got some quilt diaries coming up. I did them last week. No idea what I talked about, so this will be fresh for all of us. All right, then, on to the quilt diaries. Quilt Diary, Day 1, Saturday, January 31st, 2015, last day of January. You know, I don't complain about the months, but I'm really glad to say goodbye to January. Not that it's been terrible, nothing bad has happened, but it has been pretty gloomy, pretty rainy. Here's Travis. Hi, Trav. Just a month to get through. Now, usually I like the first couple weeks of January. In fact, often the first 3 weeks of January very much. You know, it's nice to be done with the holidays, get back to work, get focused. But this January, I've gotten back to work. I've gotten focused. But I think it's mostly the weather. I've been sitting in front of my sad lamp. But, you know, I'm starting to think, you know, back to the eternal problem of the introvert is getting that balance. Enough social time and enough alone time. And there are days in my house where it's just me until 3. And, you know, when the boys were little, that's what I dreamed of. Like, oh, one day they'll be out of the house till 3. But, you know, of course, now that they're older, I'm happy to have them in the house, first of all. But it really, in January, and the house is a little bit cold and it's gray and it's gloomy, sometimes like, I need to get out. And so I do. And I plan things, and actually on Friday I took a road trip, and it was a nice day. It was kind of windy and cold, but it was sunny, and I mean interesting clouds kind of shooting past in the sky. And I went with Joy, who is the executive director of NC Folklife. She and I took a road trip. I love road trips. I don't go on enough road trips, and that is one thing that the man and I discuss quite a bit. When the boys are grown and gone, and something has made us incredibly wealthy. Who knows what that will be? Probably getting Travis into the modeling business, as we've talked about doing for years, and we think now he's finally mature enough to be a dog model. But we want to hit the road. And I love the blue highways, and I love North Carolina. And here's, okay, so now you know what I'm dreaming, what me and the man dream about. Getting the Winnebago. No, I want a pickup truck. Hitting the road. But this road trip on Friday was the kind of road trip that I hope to do with the man as well, because Joy and I drove 45 minutes north to Warrenton in Warren County, which is a very rural county. And Warrenton is the big city, and I think there might be 1,000 people who live there. But it's really cool. And it's the kind of place where I don't know what'll happen. I don't know where our lives will take us. But you think, well, what are we going to do when the boys are grown? And, you know, eventually we'll sell this house. We don't need this much space now, really, although we use it. We do use our house. But when the boys are grown and I finally get my attic cleaned out, you know, where will we go? And sometimes I think we'll just go further into town. And, you know, get the craftsman style house that I've always wanted. We'll buy a bungalow and live the good life downtown where we can walk places. Or someplace like Warren County or Warrenton, which is like a huge percentage of the homes there are historic homes. And they cost like $200,000
for this huge, if you think about movies set in the South and someone's got a big, you know, wraparound front porch, it's those kind of houses. They're gorgeous. Of course, I came home last night, I'm like, this is where we're retiring, and I went online, I'm like, excellent. houses bigger than this one, so that completely defeats my idea of let's move, let's downsize. But so it's this great old town, lots of historic charm, and we went to see Jerianne King, who is just an amazing person. I've met her a couple times. She is a quilter. She and some other women in Warrington started a group called the Heritage Quilters, and they are a quilting group and a giving circle. They're actually a nonprofit. I think all the quilters in the group are African American. I think Warrington, I think, is majority African American town. The county's majority black, but like maybe 60-40. But so the quilters in this group are African American. There's an amazing African American quilt legacy in this town and in the townships around it as well, which is I learned yesterday. So Joy and I went to talk to Jerianne for a number of reasons. Joy has worked with Jerianne a lot. Jerianne is not just a quilter, she is a educator, community organizer, has, you know, just done all kinds of stuff. And it's funny because last night I went to my book club with my friend Carla and was telling her, and she said, Jerianne King. She's like, oh, yeah. I did some pro bono work up in Warren County, and she was on the board for, you know, such and such that I was helping out with. I'm like, that sounds like Jerianne. You know, so she's one of those people that people know because she does so much. An absolutely wonderful woman. And then another member while we were, the Heritage Quilters recently, I'm not sure if they have bought this house or leasing this house, but it's a house that's there. It's their house that they, it's an old house. It's an old historic home on Front Street in Warrington. And that's where they meet. They have a work day. I think every third Friday is their work day. But they also, again, they're not just a quilting group. They're also a nonprofit giving circle, and they raise money to do things in the community. In particular, I think they do scholarships. They're big into education. And Jerianne was telling us about some stuff they've done using quilts and going into the schools and doing math projects. That was really neat. It's all really neat. And we were there for a couple hours, and another one of the quilters, Portia Hawes, I think is Portia's last name, came in. And they were, you know, this house is where it's not a huge house. And the upstairs, I think it has just a couple bedrooms and they use it for storage. And the downstairs is almost like a, I don't know if you'd call it four square. It's just but it's four rooms. And one of the rooms is sort of their gift shop. It doesn't really, it's just, they make things again to sell, to raise money for their scholarships. And then there was two rooms that still had stuff up from Christmas, and they had Christmas quilts. I'm not sure how many people are in the Heritage Quilters, 12 or 13. Here's what's interesting. Three of them are men. And some of the most amazing quilts I saw yesterday were by a quilter, and I only remember his first name. It's Wallace. I need to find it. I was looking for information online. There's not a lot of information online about them. They did win a North Carolina Heritage Award a couple years ago, and so I think that the North, and that's given out by the North Carolina Folklore Society, and so I'm trying to find more information through the Folklore Society website. The Heritage Quilters do not have a website, and Jerianne's trying to work on that, and Joy has helped her some with that, and anyway, that's one of their projects to get going, and one of the things that Joy's, the Folklife Institute has been working with them. But one of the things that Joy had many things that she wanted to talk to Jerianne about. Jerianne's just one of these people that I think Joy, as executive director of Folklife, is in touch with pretty regularly because Jerianne's doing so much in this community. And one of the things is that there's, I don't know if it's the American Folklife Association or if it's the North Carolina Folklife, which is different from the Folklife Institute, North Carolina Folklore Society. Somebody's giving out a grant for documentation. Well, there's, again, this Warren County, and I did not know this. I knew about the Heritage Quilters, but there's a real community of quilters, and not just in Warrenton, but the place that I want to go to. I want to, I was just, it was very exciting to be there and talk to them. It was called Olive Grove, and Jerrianne and Portia showed me some pictures of some quilts, and they were amazing. So it's African American community, traditional quilting, but these quilts just had it. They were playing with traditional blocks a little bit and just beautiful. And the quilts that the heritage quilters do are beautiful too. Oh, that's what I was telling you about Wallace. I'm embarrassed I can't tell you his last name, but he's colorblind. So, but he has, but he can see values. He can see light, medium, dark, and his quilts are amazing. And they are some of the best balanced quilts in terms of light, medium, dark. And there was a sampler quilt, just like wow. But there were, I don't know. And then Portia showed us this quilt that she did, a sampler quilt that was beautiful. And a lot of these quilters are hand quilters. I mean, they hand piece and hand quilt. Now there was a sewing machine, so I know, and I know that some of them are sewing and using a sewing, doing their quilts by machine. But Portia showed us this beautiful sampler quilt, all traditional blocks, and she'd hand sewed all of it. And what actually got me right now to sit down and do this quilt diary, which I was going to wait to do when I finish my remaining 5 white blocks, I just have 5 left. And if I tell you I'll have them done by tomorrow, then I won't have them done for 3 months. So I'm not saying when I'm going to have them done, but I'm very excited. I've had a good work day today. But in any event, but I didn't. I also want to record now because I didn't want to forget this thought I just had. I picked up a copy of the, I think it's the February or March 2015. I can't remember how Quilters Newsletter does it. If it was February, March 2015 or March 2015. Anyway, the newest one. And of course, there are a million pictures of beautiful quilts, and I love Quilters Newsletter. But and I was looking at the quilt on the, it's not an entire quilt on the cover, but it's not a mariner's compass, but it's that sort of idea, and it's beautiful. And of course, these quilts on the inside are beautiful because they have pictures of a lot of these award-winning quilts from Houston and other shows, and I love them. But I was thinking about, as much as I look at those quilts and think, wow, they're really beautiful, it was like looking at Portia's hand-sewn sampler, hand-pieced, hand, and the stuff that Wallace was doing. And, I don't know why I find it more compelling in some ways. Because, I mean, Portia's quilt was beautiful, but it wasn't perfect. I don't know. I shouldn't say her blocks were very good. They're very, she's a very precise sewer, so I would hate for her to listen to this and say, "What, you don't think that was an award-winning quilt?" But in this day and age, at a big show, no. And yet, to me, it was a beautiful quilt and exciting in some way. And maybe it's because they're not like a lot of us not making quilts for big shows, And they, a lot of these women, it's funny, they make quilts as a group to raffle and sell. But a lot of the quilts they make themselves, for themselves, are for family. And, they could raise more money if more of them wanted to sell their quilts, but they don't. So that's interesting. But I did, but I was, I don't know why. And I don't think I'm doing a very good job of describing why I found those quilts up there in Warrenton that the Heritage Quilters are doing, which again are very good quilts. They are these women and men are excellent quilt makers, but they're not showy, I guess. And yet I find them, I was thrilled by them, thrilled by them. The other thing that was very neat, okay, so going back again to why we were up there, Joy was talking to Jerrianne about how there's money available for a documentation project. Well, the Heritage Quilters did a documentation project of Warren County quilts about 10 years ago. And I think they got about 40 quilts, which, and they were like, that's just scratching the surface. And so I think Joy's going to help Jerrianne write the grant to get money to do another quilt documentation project, which I want to be very involved in because I would love just seeing pictures of some of the Olive Grove. You ever heard of Olive Grove, North Carolina? And what Jerrianne said is that It's like they're not G's Bin's quilts because they're traditional blocks. They're not improvisationally pieced quilts at all. They're very formal quilts. But she said it's just like there's something in the water there, that these women make great quilts and they're clearly from Olive Grove. And that to me is just fascinating because, of course, so many of us who are listening to this podcast or making this podcast or, you know, or a part of sort of the online quilting community, our ideas and our inspirations and our influences are not regional, right? Because we're getting stuff from all over. And of course, you know, and quilters have always, ideas have always traveled with quilting, right? So somebody, you have some community out west, and then the new batch of covered wagons gets out there, and they're bringing stuff that, you know, they're mixing, you know, bringing ideas and influences from, say, a, you know, Dutch, right, Pennsylvania Dutch culture. And it's like, oh, and these people who have moved there from Ohio or North Carolina, Virginia, are bringing different influences. So we've all, you know, quilters have always done that. So, but what's, but I think now what is hard to conceive of is quilters working, a group of quilters working in relative isolation and also passing ideas, passing skills down generationally. That just doesn't happen very much, not just in quilting, but in most handicraft. Handicrafts that people are doing, except in North Carolina, I would say they're pottery, that there are pottery families. North Carolina is known for its pottery because of our great clay, and that's why we're not always known for our gardening. But and there are families who that is the family tradition. But so I'm just fascinated that there are these little, I mean, in this day and age, you just don't think about it, that there's still these really small communities where, and because, you know, where people don't get out much. So I want to see these quilts. It was a fun trip. It was exciting to talk with these women, to hear about what they're doing, to see their quilts, to hear their stories, to have the sense of community. And I've had this experience before as a visiting author, going into small communities where you go and do a program at night and the whole town shows up, because that's just, everybody in town knows what's going on. Everybody in town has a kid in school. Everybody in town has a grandkid in school. You know, and communities are very connected. Now, and, you know, I don't want to romanticize that or sentimentalize that, because there are a lot of people who leave those small communities because they can't stand it anymore. But it's really cool, too. So that was a very fun road trip, and I'm excited to go back. But the last thing about the documentation project that the Heritage Quilters did in 2005, you can actually go to the library site, the Warrenton Public Library, and you can access the quilts, the pictures, and the documentation through their catalog. So I am putting some of those quilts on a Pinterest page, and I'll put the link to that. So that's what I had to tell you right now. Travis is kicking me. I don't know why. But it's neat. Road trip. So that makes January a little bit better. Okay, the other thing I wanted to tell you before I forget is I have, it's about 5:30 going on 6 now, and I have spent a good chunk of today at the sewing machine. And I have been watching a show on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, it's free. It's called The White Queen. It's based on, I think, several novels by Philippa Gregory, and it's quite good. It's steamy. You can't watch it with the kids, but it's good. And I don't know very much about that period, you know, about British history, quite frankly. But and I know, I think my mom reads the Philippa Gregory books, and I picked up one, and the writing was good, and it was interesting, but I was just lost. I had no idea. Like, I don't know who these people are, the Edwards, the Henrys, the Richards, you have got me. But this is a little easier to follow, and it's good, and it's fun. So if you're looking for something to watch while you quilt, I would recommend The White Queen. I have also just started reading All the Light We Cannot See, and it's really good. So that's those are my recommendations. I can't really recommend All the Light We Cannot See because I haven't finished it. I haven't finished the JoJo Moyes. Now, Margaret K commented, and she finished it and said she liked it. So that made me decide I would finish it, but I didn't realize it is, and this is ironic because I've been talking about how much I love a road trip. I don't actually love a road trip novel, and I didn't realize that's what this is. So, but if Margaret likes it, I'm going to, you know, I'm about halfway done. But that's why I was like, when are we getting there? And then I kept looking ahead like, oh, this whole book is about being stuck in a car with people you don't necessarily like. Huh. All right. But I will continue. Obviously, All the Light We Cannot See is a huge, huge bestseller nominated for the National Book Award, etc. So it has a lot of people behind it, and I'm just about 20 pages into it, but the writing is lovely, and I'm starting to really get sucked into it. So there you go. Back to the sewing machine. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. This is actually my second attempt at a Quilt Diary Day 2. I'm trying to describe my quilting, what I have done. Well, first of all, I have finished the white blocks. They're all done. I don't think I've told you this. I can't remember, to be honest, when I last diaried. It could have been Saturday, in which case I would not have finished them. In fact, now I don't remember. It's Thursday. Do I have a memory of when I finished? It was maybe Sunday. Perhaps Monday. No, I bet it was Sunday. And then I got going on the half square triangle border. That took forever. That took so much longer than I thought it would. But I'm done with that. Done with the negative space. The big petals. The four petal motif. Or four leaf motif. Can't decide if they're petals or leaves. But anyway, done. Have some do-overs to do. Primarily because at the beginning of my process, the leaves were very fat. And then I started making them skinnier, and I like the skinnier look better. So there are several where I need to go and trim the leaves a little bit. I don't think it'll be that hard to do, and I don't think it'll take that much time. I have a decision to make. There is a very narrow inner border. So there's the half square. Let's see. There's the blocks. There's like a 1-inch border, and then the half square triangles and a 4-inch border. I have to decide if I'm going to stitch in the ditch or up and down the 1-inch border. I might. It looks a little, when you turn the quilt over, it seems a little messy to not have those lines demarcated. So I'm thinking about it. I'm going to go ahead and quilt the outer border, which is a 4-inch, not quite royal blue border, but a nice brightish but darkish blue. I don't know what you would call it, really. And that is just going to mirror the white blocks. It's going to be the four-leaf motif. That's funner to say. We're going to call those leaves because it's more fun to say four-leaf motif, but smaller. And I have not started. I have marked the first row of four leaf motifs. And when I finish this, I will mark another one. Also take a picture. Maybe that's what I'll do. I was hoping to get this posted today. It's Thursday. I'm trying to be a good, you know, stay on my weekly podcast schedule. And right now I've got the house to myself because on Thursdays, this is the last week of this because swim season is almost over. But Jack has been having swim meets on Thursdays, and then Will is doing Lego robotics. And so I am here till 5 by myself. And what I've learned is I need to have a little socializing and get out of the house a little bit because although having the house to myself till 5 has been a dream of mine for about, well, Jack's almost 16, so almost 16 years. But sometimes in the winter, you just have to be careful if you're me because you'll get kind of in a funk if you're by yourself too much. So, but fortunately, my friend Bridget called. It's weird. I have this thing with Bridget. I'll start thinking about her. Now, I won't call her, although I love Bridget, and I really do enjoy talking to her, but I'm not really a phone person. I can never quite work up
You know, I call my mom fairly regularly, but she's the only one. She's also the only one if I see her in her number in the caller ID where I actually pick up. Mom, do you know that? You're the only one I pick up for. I mean, it could be dad. It just has my dad's name, but otherwise I kind of look and, you know, mostly I just take the message. And sometimes I'll call people back like 5 minutes later. I just have to prepare myself for the social energy that is going to suck out of me. You know, talking on the phone. But anyway, but what happens is I start thinking about Bridget because she's a lot of fun and I like talking to her. She's really interesting. And then with a matter of usually about 48 to 72 hours, she calls. And we talk for an hour. I mean, we talked for an hour. I would say an hour, 15 minutes, which is a long, long conversation. She lives over in Raleigh and we get together from time to time. She's a writer. It's very exciting. She has a cookbook that's going to be published by the University of North Carolina Press in the fall on Sunday dinners. They're doing a whole food series, sort of Southern food series. Like they've done a cookbook on buttermilk, right? And one on biscuits. And Bridget got the Sunday dinner one. So anyway, so she's neat, but and you know, I had just come in from a walk, and Bridget is also friends with the man, so I came in from the walk, and the man was getting ready to go to work, and he handed the phone to me. You know, he looked at me, said, "It's Bridget," and he chatted with her a little longer, and then handed the phone to me and went to work. And then Bridget and I chatted, and although it meant that I didn't get on my own going to my own work, as when I had planned, it was good because you know what, I got my social time in. It's also good because Bridget writes some book reviews and book features for the News and Observer, the Raleigh paper. So she's always got good book recommendations. Anyway, so I felt like that's good. So I feel like I have done my socializing for this long Thursday. And yes, whether or not I will get the rest of this podcast done, because I also want to get quilting. But then I thought, I looked at the clock, I'm like, oh, it's 3. And I need to do another quilt diary to say, finish the white blocks, finish my negative space quilting. Not going to give an estimate on how long the rest of it's going to take. I just don't know. I do think I have enough fabric for the binding. I'm going to use the same fabric that I used for the 1 inch inner border. I think I've got enough for the whole quilt. So once I get this outer binding bound, and that was just silly, although it was fun to say, it was absolutely incorrect. Outer border quilted, and then I have to, of course, do my repair work and skinny up some leaves and this and that. Yeah, I don't know. And Saturday, I am going to Charlotte to see my friend Daniil, who moved to Charlotte last August 2013. So not last August, the August before. And it's been one of these funny things. So Daniil, I'm sure I've talked about my friends Amy and Daniil. We met in prepared childbirth class when we were pregnant with our firstborns. And so we have known each other now for 16 years. Very good friends. All of us are introverts, so that's really good. Although it makes getting together difficult because someone's always backing out at the last minute. Because we're like, oh, I can't do this. And Amy's had a lot of family stuff going on, so it's just, I think sometimes she's just so exhausted by it. You know. Anyway, but we finally, so Daniil's been gone like a year and a half, and we've not, she's been here. She's come up here. She moved from Durham to Charlotte, so she's been up here. So I've seen her several times since she's moved, but this is the first time Amy and I will have gone to see Daniil's house. We're doing that Saturday. Amazingly, I'm not getting picked up till 10. Amy's an early morning person, so I was expecting her to say, "Oh, I'll come get you at 8," to which, you know, I think I would have had to say, yeah, I think I would have really pushed hard for that to be 9. But 10 is good. And also, but also because Amy's an introvert, because we are going to someone else's house, so that means we'll get to Charlotte around lunchtime. And I think we're planning on having an early dinner there and then hit the road back. But you know, that's a lot of socializing. It's a lot of socializing for me. You know, I talked about going to Warrenton. I have a hard time saying Warrenton last Friday, and that was a lot of socializing for me. That was a very social day, and then going to book club. Anyway, so Saturday, I'm sure by the time I get back, I will be exhausted and will not quilt. So we'll see. I'm not making any predictions on when I'm going to finish this quilt, but I'm getting down to it, and I will, maybe next week I'll think to do this. I need to do the label, and I do want to give credit to all my friends who sent fabric, So if you haven't heard your name, because I've said it a few times, here's who I'm pretty sure sent fabric. Still kicking myself. Why not just, why didn't I write it down? So if you sent me fabric for the mosaic quilt and you feel like maybe I don't know that, or I'm not remembering that, let me know. And let's see what else to tell you. So it's Thursday, it's sunny, it's cold. Travis and I in the morning, we have actually been running a lot. That's very weird. But because it's so cold, it's been so cold in the morning, and the best thing to do other than wear long johns is to run, and you get warmed up and then you're fine. But Travis really likes to run. I'm afraid I'm wearing him out. I'm afraid I'm taking dog years off of him. He comes home from our little runs. I mean, we don't run the whole way. If we walk, our route is 2 miles, and we probably run a total of a third of that. So don't get too excited. Although it does make me feel like, huh, I kind of like running. My theory in life is you're a runner or you're a swimmer, and I hate to swim. I can swim, but I hate it. I think it's so hard. Whereas when I'm running, until your knees go, it's kind of fun. So maybe I'll get some running shoes and go run on the trails. We'll see. That's a big maybe. That's a capital M maybe right there. Anyway, things are fine. Jack was sick. Jack got well. I didn't get sick. I didn't get sick, which was amazing to me. I thought, here, this was weird. On Sunday, see, I think I recorded the last quilt diary on Saturday. I think I did. I hope so, because if I didn't, I've already told you this, but I slept till 10:15, which is weird. See, the man, sometimes he snores, especially when he gets a cold, and he had a cold. So, and he comes to bed later than I do. I mean, he's a very, very much a night owl. And what happens is he'll come to bed, like at 2 or even 3. And around 4, he starts just snoring to beat the band. So I go downstairs to his study and sleep on the couch at that point. I just take my pillow, wrap up in a couple quilts. I'm fine. The couch is incredibly comfortable. But you have to put a sweater or something over all the digital devices, right? Otherwise, you've got all these lights flashing in your face all night. So when I woke up Sunday morning and I looked outside, and I thought, well, it looks like it's about 7. And I went back to sleep and, like, oh, it's a little brighter. And finally, I was like, it's probably 8:30 at this point. And I took the sweater off the devices, and it was 10:15. It's like, oh my goodness. And I was like, oh, I'm getting sick. I'm getting sick. But I didn't get sick. I survived. I survived the great cold threat of 2015. Very exciting. Yeah, I think that's all I gotta tell you. I don't really have news. I believe having finished the white blocks on the mosaic quilt, I think that is big news. Oh, I did get the latest issue of American Quilter. There was a headline. I'm walking into the kitchen where it is, and there was a headline that just tickled me, which was projects to wow your friends, which is, it's a pretty innocuous headline. I certainly did not have a problem with it, except that I can't think that I've ever. Have you ever done a project to wow your friends? I mean, you guys are my friends, and you're very nice about saying wow when I do projects, but I haven't ever thought, I'm going to do this quilt so all my quilty friends will go wow. I don't know. I know I'm making too much of that, but it just tickled me. Just that kind. I don't know. I don't think people make decisions that way about quilting. I don't make decisions that way about anything, I don't think, except maybe shoes. I think the only way I try to wow my friends is via footwear, but not via quilting choices. Anyway, looks like a good issue. I really like it. I also got the new Quilters newsletter. Oh, I talked about that. Yes, I did talk about that. We've talked about that. Okay, see, I am looking around. I'm pondering. I just, where I am quilting wise is I'm very, very deeply involved in the quilting of this quilt. And it's hard for me to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I don't feel like I'm in a tunnel. I feel like I'm in a nice green field because I'm having a good time. And it could be when I finish. It's like when I finish writing a book where I'm just going to feel like at loose, I'm going to feel weird, right? Because what do you do? I have a basket block to make for my sampler quilt, and my double wedding ring and Dresden plate, and I did make, I think I told you this, I made a New Year's resolution over at Quilting for the Rest of Us. I'm going to finish my yo-yo quilt this year. And so there are all kinds of things that I could do. But I think I'm just going to wander around the house like a ghost for a few days after I finish that. I'm kind of not looking forward to finishing it. But I've got all sorts of other projects and half-finished projects that I could finish. So there are things to do, but it's hard to see them. It's hard to get focused because I'm in the sea of the mosaic quilt. Maybe that's what I'll call this episode, the sea of the mosaic quilt. All right, I'm not going to belabor this, that I don't have much to tell you, except that if you have not written your Christmas thank you notes, don't feel guilty. I have not written mine either, although I have addressed the envelopes, Mom, so that's pretty exciting. Envelopes addressed, I could be writing you a thank you note at any minute. Okay, I'm just going to finish up here. I hope I remember to splice off a good bit of chunk of the end of that last little segment. I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know. I think I'm getting tired of talking. I think it's time to quilt. It's time for you to quilt too. Let's go quilt. Okay. See you at the sewing machine. Remember, life's short. Quilt first. See you next week.